gospel of the Lord.
Praise to
you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. From today's gospel, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. No matter how hard I try, the moment I read those words in the lectionary, I realize this is the gospel lesson that was used when I preached my very first sermon ever outside of seminary at St. John's Episcopal Church in Decatur, Alabama. And no matter how hard I try, the moment I read these words in the lectionary, I'm reminded of a story, and I know it's one that I've told you more than once. My wife is going to roll her eyes because she's heard it more than she wants to, but maybe you weren't there that Sunday. And it's a story that I was actually reminded of this week in a conversation with some friends before I even knew what today's readings were. But it's a story that speaks to today's gospel lesson, I think. And it's a story about a sign, one that every one of you have seen, especially if you've ever traveled anywhere north of, say, Montgomery, Alabama. And chances are, many of you have lived this story as well. Because it doesn't matter what direction you're coming from when traveling those parts. They're on any number of highways or interstates or two-lane roads, you're going to see them. On barns, billboards, and birdhouses, they beckon you. See Rock City. Oh, how I wanted to see Rock City when I was a little kid. It's a tourist attraction, for those of you who don't know, that's atop Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we would pass it every single year traveling from Birmingham to my grandmother's house in Kentucky. And that vacation litany was always the same. Please, Dad, can't we stop this year? We won't stay long. Mom, wouldn't you like to see Rock City? And for some 150 miles, I would beg, plead, and promise anything just to see Rock City. Every year, though, it was the same. We'd speed by that exit in Chattanooga, and another year passed. Another year would pass without seeing Rock City. And it's always here that I find myself in today's gospel lesson, believe it or not. This is such a rich story. It's a story about a widow and a judge. The widow wants something, and she nags the judge until he gives it to her. Not because he's made any value judgment as to the merit of her claims, but he just wants to get her off his back. And I guess we can make that parallel to God, I guess, and our prayers, and how if we pray hard enough to get what we want, we'll eventually get what we want. But frankly, that's not much of a gospel lesson for me. And besides, I really don't think it's the point. Now, we all know about parables. Something happens and Jesus tells a story. And sometimes the disciples get it and sometimes they don't. Jesus has to explain it to them later. But I think here, I guess Luke feels the need to explain this parable before it's ever told. He tells us it's about the disciples' need to pray always and not to lose heart. But we've got to remember, it's just a story. And it's a pretty ridiculous story at that. The disciples would have understood. A judge who fears no one, including God, and a widow who pesters him, ain't going to happen. A judge was all-powerful and maybe feared no man. His word was final, no jury, no appeal, but the judge's sole purpose was to enforce God's law. And a widow? Well, a widow had absolutely no status. When her husband died, she didn't inherit what he had. That went to the sons. So a widow, in essence, was destitute. But there was a sacred obligation for the family and society in general to care for her. That's just the way it was. But in no way, absolutely no way, would a widow have been before a judge. She just wasn't allowed. So if we want to reduce this parable to an understanding that God is the judge and we are the widow, and if we pester God enough in prayer, we'll get what we want, then we have totally missed the point. Luke writes that God doesn't work like that. And maybe that's the point. Maybe it's as simple as understanding that the judge doesn't represent God, but the antithesis of God. But consider other possibilities in the story. Consider if maybe we've got it all backwards. Imagine how this parable can speak to you if we simply reverse roles and view God as the widow and ourselves as the judge. Think about that. Suddenly, the persistence in the parable isn't about us. It's about God. God's persistent desire to be heard by us. God's persistent desire for justice and peace. God's persistent plea for us to respect the dignity of every human being. And God's persistent will not to be ignored. And also consider how the story could change again. If we view this as something that might have been personal and intimate for Jesus. The truth is, we hear absolutely nothing in Scripture about Joseph after the scene in the temple when Jesus was 12. And in those days, it was common for an older man to marry a younger woman, and there's a great probability that Jesus' mother was a widow. Imagine how the story can change if we read it. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in that city, there was a widow, my mom, who kept coming to seek justice. Suddenly, this becomes a story about how we treat the poor, the disenfranchised around us, people like Jesus' own family. In-depth Bible study and contextual analysis can help us understand how a text might have been intended. But it is only when we consider possibilities like those that the text can speak to us today and become a part of our own lives. Now, I don't remember how old I was, but once again, that summer trek to Kentucky had begun, and I had done my part. I had whined for miles about seeing Rock City, and then, without any grand announcement, as we approached Lookout Mountain, we actually slowed down and exited. I was speechless. My dream was coming true. My persistence had paid off. And to my amazement, you know what I found out? Rock City is nothing but a bunch of rocks. It was so hazy, I couldn't see Chattanooga, much less seven states. And the worst part about it was that I discovered I had this horrible fear of heights. Maybe persistence does pay off, but sometimes getting what you want isn't all it's cracked up to be. If we choose to see this parable simply as being about our need to be persistent in our petitions to God, then we're bound to be just as disappointed as I was. But if we allow ourselves to see the possibilities, then this parable can become a powerful part of our lives. When bad things happen, how do we hang on? How do we keep faith through the dark nights of the soul? How do we keep praying when things keep getting worse instead of better? How do we find the will to get up and go out every day, trusting that God will see us through when nothing we do seems to work? How do we keep from looking everywhere around us for solutions to our problems, or worse yet, someone else to blame for them? What does it take for us to stay the course when times are really hard? Our gospel lesson tells us to pray and to be persistent in those prayers. And maybe the real message is coming to understand prayer as more than just our words and wants to God. Our own catechism in the prayer book defines prayer as our response to God in thought and deed, with or without words. And I think it's from that understanding that prayer becomes more than a list of things we want God to do. And instead, it includes the possibility that when it comes to prayer, we, you and I, just might be the very answer that we're seeking. And that is where we can begin to see true miracles happening through our prayers. Miracles where transformations happen in ourselves, in our community, and in a world that we sometimes can't seem to understand. It is where prayer becomes less about what we have to say and more about how we live our lives, which for me ultimately begs the question, what are you persistent about? What consumes your time, your resources, your energy, your emotion? Is it worth it? And as the Son of Man comes, does he find faith on your earth? God love you. Amen.